chapter 19 this evening. John chapter 19, let's begin reading in verse 31. He said in verse 31, he said, "The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. One of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came out thereout rather blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith truth, that ye might believe. Well, these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. And again, another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they have pierced." Oh, Father, again tonight, we thank you for this day, the opportunities, the privileges that you've given to us, Lord, to meet this morning, this evening, the opportunity to witness in a door-to-door fashion, the opportunity that you've given us to be a part of an ordination this evening. God, we thank you for this privilege. We thank you for the privilege of singing the songs of Zion, the fellowship with one another. And Lord, now as we open your word, God, I just ask this evening that your anointing and blessing would be on the reading of the scripture. Lord, that you would meet with us in a special way. We thank you for loving us, and we thank you for the details that you've given us in your word, which in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You'll notice with me, as we come to verse 31, we're going to finish the chapter this evening. We've divided this chapter up into three areas, basically. Verses 1 through 18 has dealt with Christ being condemned. And verses 19 through 30 is dealing with his crucifixion, him being crucified. Verses 31 through 37, or through the end of the chapter, pretty much deals with his burial. Now, you'll notice with me that as we come back here to verse 31, he said, "The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the bodies should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day. For that Sabbath was an high day. He besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away." The preparation would be Sabbath Eve and the day before the Sabbath. And the reference to the bodies should not remain on the cross would be from Deuteronomy chapter 21 and verse 23. And the reference to the Sabbath here being a high day, probably the annual Sabbath, not the ordinary weekly Sabbath, but was the first day of the Passover or unleavened bread. They broke their legs many times to hasten the death to be taken down from the cross. You'll notice with me in verse 32, "Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and the other which was crucified with him." In verse 32, verse 33, "But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs." In verse 34, "But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came thereout blood and water." I want you to notice in John chapter 20, the book of John in chapter 20, he said in verse 27, let's begin reading in verse 24, "But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now this is after the resurrection. We see in chapter 19 that the soldier took the spear and pierced his side. Chapter 19, verse 26, and after 8 days again, did his disciples were within, and Thomas with them, then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." Then said he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither my hand, thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." We see this large wound that was made by the soldier and the spear, and Thomas got to see these, and it caused him to realize that this is the resurrected Savior. In verse 35 of chapter 19, he said, "And he saw, and he that saw it bare record, and his record is true, and he knoweth, and that he saith true, that ye might believe." In 1 John 1, verses 1, 2, and 3, and 1 John 5, verse 11, the Bible speaks of the record of them seeing the Lord, handling the Lord, the record that God has given. They bear record. The Scriptures bear record. The Holy Spirit bear record. The eyewitnesses bear record of this testimony. In verse 36, "For these things were done that the Scripture might be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken." Interesting, this is in Exodus 12 and in verse 46, if you want to cross-reference to that. This is fulfilled Scripture. And this was originally said of the Passover lamb in the Old Testament. Christ is our Passover. In verse 36, he said, "For these things were done, that the Scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken." I want you to turn with me to just a few verses for a moment. Turn to John chapter 5, just for a moment. Refresh your memory. Something, the prophecies and fulfillment of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. It is estimated that there are over 300 such prophecies that Jesus Christ fulfilled during His first advent. These detailed prophecies leave no room for error in determining who the true Messiah is. Still argued today. The Jews will argue, the Gentiles will argue, who is the true Messiah? They're still looking for Messiah to come. I put together, and there's better works than what I've done on this, but I put together a few years, 2 or 3 years ago, this little track, article titled "Prophecies of Christ." I just picked it up this afternoon and was looking through it. I about forgot about writing it and dealing with this, but I put in here about 75 references to the detailed prophecies that Christ fulfilled. And I'll not go into, in other words, His preaching, His miracles, His obedience, His dominion, His sonship, His divinity, His priesthood, all of these were prophesied in the Old Testament and He fulfilled. But when you get down to the section that we're at in the book of John, getting down to the crucifixion, we find that between Isaiah and Zechariah and Psalms and so forth, talks about His silence, sold for money, posed by all, His trial, them spitting upon Him. We've been looking at some of this already. His mocking, smitten with a rod, hated without a cause, crucified with thieves, that He was cut off, Daniel 9 and verse 26, which means to be crucified. He was numbered with sinners, His innocence, His poverty, divided His garments. We looked at that last week. He was forsaken by God. He thirsted. We talked about that last week. No bones broken. Buried with the rich, deserted by the followers, rejected by rulers. He's the chief cornerstone. His hands and His feet were pierced. No bones were broken. Again, sacrificial lamb. His side pierced. All of these things were written down in the Old Testament. Then, as you've heard me say many times, we have the manner of His birth. He would be born of a virgin. Isaiah 7, verse 14. Isaiah chapter 9, His government. We have the place of His birth, the book of Malachi that's prophesied. But we also have the time of His birth or when he would die. We have that in Daniel chapter 9. He could not have come 100 years before the time that he did come. He could not have come 100 years afterwards. Because he talks about what we refer to as the 70 weeks of Daniel in the midst of the 70th week, that 7 years he died in the midst of that. He had to die in the first century. So we have all these prophecies. In chapter 5, verse 39, we have this. He says, "Search the Scripture, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of Me." Talking about the Scripture, testifying of the Son of God. Come back with me to John 20 again. John chapter 20, reading in verse 30. He said, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. Turn to one other passage on this in Acts chapter 10. In Acts chapter 10, they were those that were looking for Messiah. We mentioned this last week. It was people like Anna, Simon, the wise men that are called in the book of Matthew. Different ones were looking for Messiah to come because they knew the timing was right. And still yet the majority among the nation of Israel and the world at that time missed His coming. He said in Acts chapter 10, you'll notice with me in one verse of this chapter. In Acts chapter 10, I'm going to be reading from verse 43. Acts chapter 10 and verse 43. He said, "To Him give all the prophets witness." Notice that. To Jesus Christ. "To Him give all the prophets witness that through His name whosoever believeth in Him shall receive remission of sins." The prophets, they all testified of His coming, the place, the time, the manner, the details of it. Coming back to John chapter 19. So as we read through this passage, we've already seen a number of times Old Testament prophecies that were given that Christ fulfills them in detail. As we come here again, verse 36, "For these things were done that the Scriptures should be fulfilled, a bone of Him shall not be broken." Think about hundreds of years written before, and they break the legs of the other two that was crucified, but they did not break the legs of our Savior because it was written down in Scripture that His legs were not to be broken. In verse 37, now this here, when I look at these things, this shows me how big that God really is and how His Word is true and it cannot be changed. He says in verse 37, "And again another Scripture saith, they shall look on Him whom they have pierced." Let me give you three references to that. One is in Psalms 22 and verse 16. We were back in that Psalm last week. The other is in Zechariah chapter 12 and in verse 10. And then another passage is in Revelation chapter 1 verse 7. Again, I want you to notice the wonderful providence of God Almighty. We see His providence in these verses. In Isaiah, well, let's go to verse 38. He said, "And after this Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. And he came, therefore, and took the body of Jesus." Here we find, let's take two references on this. Turn with me to Matthew. In chapter 27, in Matthew and in chapter 27, this is a rich man. We find bestows an honorable burial upon the Lord. In Matthew chapter 27, he came by secretly. You've got to think about the boldness, even though it was done secretly. You've got to think about the boldness of this man going to Pilate. He's the one that turned him over to be crucified. And here's the disciple that comes and begs for his body. Matthew chapter 27, we read this in verse 56. In verse 56, and he said here, and among which was Mary Magdalene, the mother of James and Joseph, he said, and the mother of Zebedee's children. When the evening was come, there came, notice, a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who was also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewed out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. Great care taken by one of Jesus' disciples. In Isaiah, you'll notice with me in chapter 53. We're not going to turn to that many, but these are just a few I want to take. In Isaiah chapter 53, we read the entire chapter just a couple of weeks ago, but I want to come back to one verse. The entire chapter is dealing with the rejection and the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we come here to this chapter, in Isaiah chapter 53, we'll take one verse this evening. Again, notice the fulfillment. He said in verse 9, and he made his grave, notice, with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. With the rich in his death. Turn back with me, please, to John chapter 19. In reference to this disciple coming secretly, I see boldness there, pleading for the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. God had already written down how that he would die, where that he'd be buried, how that he would be buried, how that he would be crucified. One writer says this, he said, grace doeth not always make a public and open show where it is. There is much secret treasure in the bowels of the earth, which the world knows little of. No one knew about this disciple. The world knew nothing about this disciple. Knew nothing that there was already a tomb that was prepared by this man that was written down in the Scriptures hundreds of years before. Can we trust God this evening with our lives? Can we trust Him with our salvation? Can we trust Him? In John chapter 19, again and in verse 39, here's another man that we read about in chapter 3. Verses 1 through 8 and chapter 7, verse 50. His name is Nicodemus. He said in verse 39, and there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes and about 100 pound weight. So we find him coming. They're bringing this for the embalming. The body used to preserve. I mean, that's what it was normally, some of this is used for. He's bringing it for his burial. And then we find that in verse 40, then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Wound up in the linen, we found that to be true with Lazarus in chapter 11, verse 44. Is also true with two others in Acts chapter 5 and in verse 11, a way that they buried individuals. In verse 41 and verse 42, he says, now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulcher, wherein was never man yet laid. Again, we've already made mention of that. Joseph's own new tomb, he hewed in the rock, prepared for the Lord. And in verse 42, there laid they Jesus, therefore because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulcher was nigh at hand. Now, I want to take two other verses before we close this evening. I'd like you to take with me, please, John chapter 1, and a very familiar verse. Many of you can quote it. And then I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I was thinking this evening, as I was riding back from Sims, as it came back down Bellingrath Road, thinking about the Passover and what has taken place here, the crucifixion. The Passover was a religious holy day or holiday among the nation of Israel, which represented the crucifixion, Christ's death. There are seven feast days that are mentioned in Leviticus chapter 23, and the crucifixion, of course, speaks of the accomplishments of Jesus Christ on the cross. And the Passover in the Old Testament, reading the details of that, Exodus chapter 12 and Exodus chapter 13, it was the first feast which became the foundation for all the other feasts. There are the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of First Fruits, the Feast of Pentecost, the Feast of what? Help me out. The Blowing of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and then the Feast of Tabernacles. Did I get all seven of them? If I didn't, I'm close. At least most of them. And this Passover was the first. It began the religious year of the church in the wilderness. It began the religious year of the nation of Israel. In John chapter 1 and verse 29, he said, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming to him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." He is the Lamb, the Passover Lamb. The Passover Lamb, the Old Testament, it commemorated the deliverance of the children of Israel out of bondage and as they went through the Red Sea. It originated in Egypt over 3,500 years ago. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. It was in the spring, the first month, the 14th day of the month, around our March or April. God began a brand new calendar with this nation, the birth of a nation. We'll close in this passage here, and we'll pick up next Sunday night in reference to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We find that in 1 Corinthians, in chapter 5, reading from about verse 7, he said, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ," now look at this carefully, "our sacrifice," our Passover rather, "is sacrificed for you." These are the details we're studying in John 19. I have not went much to Matthew, Mark, and Luke. We went some, but if you want all of the details of the crucifixion, everything that went on, you put the four Gospels together and God will lead you in the way of seeing every detail and the cross references. And most people have Bibles today with center cross references in them that will carry you back to the Old Testament passage. But I'll leave you with this, and we look at the details of the where he was condemned, and then he was crucified. And then we see his burial. Every little thing, God was involved in that. It was predetermined. And God worked all of this out, you see. For what? For you and I. For you and I. Would you stand with me this evening?